Heavenly Father, thank you that you have the words of life for us in the Bible, and thank you that we have a chance this lunchtime to meet together to study it for ourselves. And we do pray that you speak to us through your word, that we will listen hard, digest, and take it to heart as we look at what you have to say to us today. In Jesus' name, amen. Chapter 4, verse 14. Since then, we have a great high priest who has passed through the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God. Let us hold fast our confession. For we do not have a high priest who is unable to sympathize with our weaknesses, but one who in every respect has been tempted as we are, yet without sin. Let us then with confidence draw near to the throne of grace, that we may receive mercy and find grace to help in time of need. Chapter 5. For every high priest chosen from among men is appointed to act on behalf of men in relation to God, to offer gifts and sacrifices for sin. He can deal gently with the ignorant and wayward, since he himself is beset with weakness. Because of this, he is obligated to offer sacrifice for his own sins, just as he does for those of the people. And no one takes this honor for himself, but only when called by God, just as Aaron was. So also Christ did not exalt himself to be made a high priest, but was appointed by him who said to him, "You are my son, today I have begotten you." As he says also in another place, "You are a priest forever after the order of Melchizedek." In the days of his flesh, Jesus offered up prayers and supplications with loud cries and tears to him who was able to save him from death, and he was heard because of his reverence. Although he was a son, he learned obedience through what he suffered, and being made perfect, he became the source of eternal salvation for all who obey him, being designated by God a high priest after the order of Melchizedek. Over to you, friends.
Thank you, Alfie. Especially warm welcome if this is your first time. Really nice that you can join us. And welcome back for our regulars. As mentioned by Alfie, we're going to carry on looking at the book of Hebrews over the next few weeks. You may have been here when we last looked at the book of Hebrews in the autumn term. Well, for today's passage, we look back at chapter 4, verse 11, and that provides some helpful context. It says, "Let us therefore strive to enter that rest, so that no one may fall by the same sort of disobedience." So what God is saying here is that he's promised an eternal rest to his people. The writer of Hebrews warns his readers not to be like the Israelites in the Old Testament, who hardened their hearts and were unable to enter the promised land. He wants us instead to have obedient and believing hearts so that we do end up entering God's rest ultimately. But then there is a problem. We still face temptations to sin every day. And we often give in to these temptations. We are weak and sinful. How can we be sure that we will enter God's rest? Well, today's passage gives us two great reasons to reassure us that we will get there. So the first reason is this, and you can see that on your handouts. There's an outline to the talk on the other side of on the back side of the notice sheets. The first point is this: Jesus, our great high priest, is willing to help. Jesus, our great high priest, is willing to help. Let me read verse 14 of chapter 4 again. "Since then, we have a great high priest who has passed through the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God. Let us hold fast our confession." There's one word in this verse that I particularly love. I wonder if anyone can guess what that word is? Any guesses?
Great.
Great.
Is it?
No, it's not great. It's a good word. Yeah, it is a good word. Any other guesses? No, that's fine.
Since.
Sorry? Since? Yeah, that's another good one, but it's not since. It's actually the word "we." We have a great high priest. And this word is repeated at the start of verse 15. Jesus is ours. He belongs to us. We have a great high priest. Hebrews 1 tells us that Jesus is God the Son, and that is definitely true. But when Jesus took on human flesh, he became a man. He became one of us. And in so doing, Jesus experienced temptations just like you and I do. He knows from first-hand experience what it's like to be tempted. Let me read verse 15 again. For we do not have a high priest who is unable to sympathize with our weaknesses, but one who in every respect has been tempted as we are, yet without sin. Now, many of us will recall from the Gospels that Jesus was tempted by Satan three times in the wilderness. You can read about it in Matthew chapter 4. After fasting for 40 days, Jesus was really hungry. And the devil tried to take advantage of his hunger by tempting him to disobey God's word. But Jesus resisted the devil three times. And so what this tells us is that Jesus knows what it's like to be tempted. He knows how hard it is for us to resist temptation. He understands how weak we are and how easily we give in to sin. He recognizes how much we need his help to overcome temptation. Jesus is one of us. He is a human being. He is not some distant monarch living in a luxurious palace who tells his people to eat cake. Jesus lived among us. He had flesh and bones. He was hungry. He was thirsty. He was tired. He felt angry and sad. And he knows what it's like for each one of us to be tempted. He can relate to us as a fellow human being. And so when we are tempted, Jesus can sympathize with us. When thoughts of anger, greed, or lust come knocking at the door, Jesus knows how hard it is to say no. When our colleagues gossip or they get drunk, Jesus knows just how easy it is for us to join in. And when an opportunity arises to speak about Jesus publicly, Jesus knows how costly it is to be bold. But Jesus isn't just a fellow man who can sympathize with us. He's also our great high priest. As verse 14 says, he has passed through the heavens. So after obeying God perfectly on earth, he is now our high priest in heaven. He is praying to God right now for us. And this means that we can have this direct access to God. God is willing to listen to us. As verse 16 says, we have this great privilege of being able to approach God ourselves and ask him for help whenever we need it. Did you notice that God's throne is described as the throne of grace? Grace is another word for generosity. God is so willing to pour out his generous supply of help whenever we need it. And so this leads us nicely on to the implications of this point. What does it mean for us that Jesus, our great high priest, is willing to help? Well, it means that we should ask God for help whenever we need it. He will help us anytime, anywhere. We might be at home, we might be at work or at church. We may be alone with family, with friends or with colleagues. Well, Jesus is willing to help. He's available 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, and 365 days a year. We have got a direct hotline to heaven, so we just need to pick up the phone and ask him. As we journey towards God's rest, God wants to help us overcome temptation. Whatever battles it is that we face, whether it's selfishness, envy, bitterness, lust, or anything else, we can ask God for help. Isn't that amazing? Because Jesus is our high priest in heaven, God will listen to our prayers. He will help us to obey him. And even when we do fail, which we will, you know, we are still weak and sinful human beings. We will still give in from time to time. But God will forgive us. He will pour out his mercy on us. Brothers and sisters, rest assured, God is on our side. He is there to help and not to hinder. He will pour out his generous grace and mercy to us when we ask him. He will help us hold on to Jesus until the end. And so let's make use of this immense privilege that Jesus has secured for us let's not be shy of approaching God in prayer. Just as the child isn't afraid of asking his loving father or mother for help, well, nor should we be afraid of asking our loving Heavenly Father for help. He longs to help us. We will face many challenges as we strive to enter God's rest. We'll be tempted to disobey God, just as the Israelites were on their way to Canaan. So let's not be afraid of asking God to help us, to give us soft hearts that will choose to obey his word rather than to give in to temptation. Let's pray that we will hold fast our confidence firm to the end. Personally, I find it really helpful to have two regular prayer slots each day. In the mornings, after getting up, and then in the evening, before I go to bed. I will normally ask God for his protection and blessing through the day and through the night. And during the day as well, we can also send up some quick prayers to God for help. When we have to face particular moments of intense temptation, let's draw near to the throne of grace. Perhaps we might be on a business trip and no one else knows what we're up to, or we're at the bar with colleagues and we're tempted to drink too much or to gossip about others. But in these situations, as well as in others, we can ask God to help us not to give in to sin. And I've been trying to put this into practice in my own life. I've been praying to God for help in moments of temptation. And I can say that it really works. God listens. God has answered my prayers for help. So I really do commend prayer to you if you consider Jesus as your great high priest. Ask God for help, and he will help. And if you are not a Christian, well, I hope this shows you that Christians have an immense privilege. We can ask God anytime, anywhere, for his help. And we don't need to be at a temple or a special religious place. And we don't need to, you know, prepare ourselves to, you know, do ritual cleansing or to make offerings to God first. No, because Jesus has done everything, we can approach God anytime, anywhere, and ask him for help. So that's the first reason why we can have confidence that as Christians, we will get to the end. We will get to enter God's rest because Jesus is willing to help. Now we come to our second reason. Jesus, God's appointed high priest, is able to help us. In chapter 5, verses 1 to 4, we learn that Aaron, the high priest, was able to help the people of Israel. He was chosen from the people to represent the people. And he himself was a sinner, just like the people of Israel. His job was to offer sacrifices for his own sins, as well as for the sins of the people. In verses 5 to 10, we see that Jesus is even more able to help his people, because he is God's appointed priest after the order of Melchizedek. And just to explain, Melchizedek was a priest king in Genesis, the first book of the Bible. And we'll learn more about him in chapter 7. The point here is this. Jesus is God's appointed priest. And he says this three times in verses 5, 6, and 10. And this is in contrast to the emphasis on Jesus being our great high priest in our first section. So in this section, chapter 5, verses 1 to 10, Jesus is God's appointed priest. And let's trace through Jesus how Jesus was appointed as God's high priest. Starting from verse 5, he is the eternally begotten Son of God. He was in heaven with his Father. In verse 7, he took on human flesh and he cried out to God for help, for deliverance from death. In verse 8, he learned obedience through suffering, and he was made perfect through this process. And then second half of verse 9, he became the source of eternal salvation to all who obey him. In verse 10, he was designated by God a high priest after the order of Melchizedek. So in summary, Jesus, the Son of God, became a human being. He suffered, he died on the cross, and he was delivered from death and raised to life again. And he is now in heaven as God's high priest. Crucially for us, verse 9 tells us that he is now able to save those who obey him. So Jesus, God's anointed high priest, is able to save us. He can help us get to the end goal of God's eternal rest. But how does that actually work? How is Jesus able to bring us to be with him? Well, the logic goes like this. Because Jesus himself passed the test while he was on earth, he's now able to help us pass the test as well. Jesus has received God's seal of approval, and he is able to help us get it as well. I was in Paris last week, as some of you might know. We were just chatting about it with some of you just now. And there's a famous cookery school in Paris called the Le Cordon Bleu. And the teachers there are all accomplished master chefs with many decades of experience under their belt. They may have started as humble kitchen boys, but they've now risen to the top of their careers. They've received the seal of approval from their school. They have the famous blue ribbon, that's what Le Cordon Bleu means in English, and they're equipped to pass on their cookery skills to others. Well, Jesus is like the top master chef from Le Cordon Bleu. He's gone through some very difficult experiences. He suffered and died on the cross, but he's now been raised to life, and he's been appointed as God's high priest. And he's able and equipped to help others get there, get to heaven as well. Well, interestingly, the writer of Hebrews deliberately draws parallels between our experience and Jesus' experience. For example, he tells us in verse 4:16 to draw near to the throne of grace to receive mercy and find grace in the time of need. In other words, he tells Christians to pray. And then in chapter 5, verse 7, what does he say? Well, he says, Jesus offered up prayers to God. And so you see this parallel. Both Jesus and Jesus' followers have this same experience of crying out to God for help. But that's not it. In chapter 5, verse 8, we see that Jesus learned obedience through what he suffers. And then in verse 9, Jesus became the source of eternal salvation to all who obey him. You see? This theme of obedience applies both to Jesus and his followers. And so this similar experience for both Jesus and his followers means that Jesus is able to help us because he himself went through the same experiences and he learnt the same lessons. So Jesus learnt to rely on God in prayer, and he can teach us to do the same. Because Jesus learned obedience to God in the face of suffering, he is qualified to help us follow in his footsteps. Think of the master chef who learned to cut vegetables when he was an apprentice. Well, he's mastered this skill now, so he can teach the apprentices to do the same thing. And so in a similar way, Jesus is equipped to help us all get to heaven because he has been through that process and he is there in heaven right now. Okay, so Jesus can get us to heaven. What are the implications for us? Well, I think the biggest implication is confidence. Jesus' successful journey to heaven, to the priesthood of Melchizedek, means that we can have confidence that we too can get there. We really can make it to God's eternal rest that he's prepared for us with Jesus' help. We don't need to rely on our own strength. We can rely on Jesus, our King, our priest, who has already made it. We don't need to rely on Mary or the saints. We have Jesus himself to help us. And we don't need our parish priest to pray on our behalf, because we have God's high priest, Jesus himself, who is praying for us and helping us right now. We can lean on Jesus completely and fully. And as we journey towards God's rest, we can learn from Jesus how to pray, how to cry out to God in times of difficulty. And maybe that's something we struggle with. I know a lot of us find it hard to pray regularly. Well, Jesus can help us. He's a really experienced prayer warrior, and he is more than qualified to teach us. Well, ask him to help us. Ask him to help you. Learn from his prayers in the Gospels. Use the Lord's Prayer. Be assured that it is possible to get better at prayer. we can become more dependent on God in times of difficulty. Jesus has done it, and he can help us make progress in this area. And not only that, but we can also learn from Jesus how to obey God more and more in the face of suffering and temptation. And again, maybe that's something that you find hard. It's something that I find hard. Well, we can ask Jesus to help us. Over Easter, we may have read or listened to accounts of Jesus' journey to the cross. Well, what a great example of obedience to God in the face of extreme suffering. Well, why don't we read those accounts again and learn from Jesus' example? Ask Jesus to help us to follow in his footsteps of obedience in the face of suffering. Brothers and sisters, let's be confident that it is possible to grow in obedience to God's words. Be assured that we can resist temptation. Jesus has done it, and so can we. It is easy to lose hope when we repeat the same sins over and over and over again. I know that I can despair when that happens to me. But Jesus' successful example gives us hope. He shows us that we can say no to sin. We can win. We can overcome temptation. We can make progress in obedience to God's word. Remember the cordon bleu illustration earlier? Well, each year, 20,000 students manage to graduate from this cookery course all over the world because they've been well trained by their teachers. Their teachers are well qualified, they've done it themselves, and they can pass on their skills and their knowledge to their students. And so these students can have real confidence in their teachers. They've had the same rigorous training as themselves. They can get them to their end goal. And so we too, how much more can we have confidence in the Lord Jesus, who went through the same sufferings, the same temptations as us? In fact, to an even greater and more intense extent, we can lean on Jesus and learn from him. He has passed through the heavens. He is seated in the heavenly places as God's high priest, and he will safely get each one of us who follow Jesus safely to God's eternal rest in the heavens. If you are not yet a Christian, well, I hope this passage helps you to understand that Christians have this real confidence that we will get to heaven safely. Jesus himself has made it, and he will take his followers to be with him forever. And if you choose to believe in Jesus and follow him, well, he can take you to be there with him as well. He can teach you to pray to God, to lean on him, to rely on him, and to learn obedience to God in the face of temptation and